Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
The scriptures for this weekend all speak to us about prayer. Cardinal John Henry Newman, who the Pope recently beatified, once said, "All life is about meeting." I'll say that again. All life is about meeting. He noted that when you meet a good person, you become friends with that person, such that every time you encounter that person, every time you meet them, your life is enriched all the more. Each encounter, each meeting makes you more fully alive. Cardinal Newman would go on to write and say, "Prayer is like our encounter with God. Every time we pray, it's a dialogue between you and the Almighty Lord. Every time you pray, you meet or encounter the Lord such that your life is enriched all the more. Each time you pray. Each time you pray and encounter the Lord in your prayer, you become more fully alive." Now, turn to the first reading. In the first reading, we have Sirach, who reminds us that it's very easy to pray when things are going well for us, when the sun is shining. And yet, it becomes very difficult for us to pray when we encounter life's struggles. Notice what he says here. He says, "The Lord hears the cry of the oppressed. The Lord is not deaf to the wail of the orphan, nor to the widow when she pours out her complaint." Well, here Sirach is reassuring us that the Lord does hear our prayers. And so it is important for us, even during those difficult or challenging times of our life, to pray and pray through them. Next, he writes, "The prayer of the lowly pierces the clouds. It does not rest till it reaches its goal." The lowly or the poor essentially does not refer to those who lack material possessions. Instead, the lowly are referred to those that are poor in spirit, those that are discouraged, the downtrodden, those that are depressed. More to it, the lowly are sinners. Sinners who feel a deep void in their life. A void that was once filled by the presence of God is now empty because of their own sinfulness. And so they cry out in need for God. Sirach continues. He says, "It does not rest till it reaches its goal, nor will it withdraw till the Most High responds." Once again, Sirach is reassuring us that God not only hears our prayer, but he responds to them. Now, this is exactly what Jesus is teaching the apostles in the gospel. Jesus, remember last week, he taught us about the persistence of prayer in the parable of the persistent widow. He told us last week that we must be persistent and continually pray. Well, this week, he's teaching us about another aspect of prayer. In this case, the proper attitude that we have to have in order to pray. Now, the gospel story is about two men praying in the temple, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. And this story reveals what kind of prayer pierces the heavens, as Sirach would say, and reaches the Almighty Lord. Now, notice how it starts. This story is actually specifically addressed to those people that find themselves to be morally superior to others. It begins, "Jesus addressed this parable to those who are convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else." So we know exactly to whom Jesus is telling this parable to. Notice further how it begins. It says, "Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other was a tax collector." Notice their posture. The Pharisee enters into the temple with his head held high, almost his nose in the air, as if this temple belongs to him rather than God. Tax collector enters in the temple, his head bowed down, and he stands far off in the distance. It continues, the Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. Now, this prayer that the Pharisee prays is not necessarily a prayer, as it is a boast on how morally superior he is compared to all others in society, especially this tax collector who's in the temple area with him. He continues, he says, I fast twice a week. I pay tithes on my whole income. Now this Pharisee is cataloging. He's cataloging all of his virtues as a means of setting himself off from all others, again, in society, none of whom have attained his level of perfection. Well, now this Pharisee is using religion as a weapon. And you see, St. Paul was always very attuned to this. You read this in many of his epistles. This occurred throughout many of St. Paul's Christian communities that he established, where individuals would use the law that God gave us to make themselves morally superior to others and then begin to pass judgment on other people. And see, this is what this Pharisee is doing. Now, the law that God has given us, Ten Commandments, the Beatitudes, they can be used by some people to boast of oneself, of one's good accomplishments. More to it, they can also be used to look down upon other people. I'll give you a good example of this. A person says, you know, I know the law. In fact, not only do I know the law very well, but I practice it. And I can now see how others in this world, in our society, are deficient in the law. Therefore, this person begins to feel a sense of moral superiority over others and uses the law to pass judgment on other people. And this is exactly what the Pharisee is doing in the gospel parable. When he prays, O God, I thank you that I'm not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, even like this tax collector. Now imagine the image. This Pharisee is praying at the very center of the temple, and now he's passing judgment on all of society. And worse yet, he's pointing his finger at this tax collector. In his moral superiority, he is now judging this tax collector in the presence of our Lord. Now, the laws that God gave us were not meant to be used this way. God's laws, the Ten Commandments, the two greatest commandments, the Beatitudes, these laws were meant for the express purpose of drawing all people to God. You know, there's that great image from the prophet Isaiah, in which Isaiah sees the mountain of the Lord. God is on top of the mountain, and he sees all these different nations streaming up the mountain. Well, that's God summoning or calling all people to him. That's what the laws do. They are given to us by God to foster unity within our church. And so this Pharisee's prayer becomes one of self-love and of boasting. Now turn to the tax collector. Remember, the tax collectors were considered traitors by the Israelites, collaborators with the Romans. The tax collectors collected taxes that went to tribute to Caesar in Rome, or they went to the Roman soldiers, the very occupiers of Israel. Worse yet, the tax collectors skimmed off the top of the taxes they collected to pay their own salaries. So these tax collectors were hated individuals. Nonetheless, this tax collector makes his way into the temple area. Notice, it says, the tax collector stood off at a distance, would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. These are all four signs. He stood off at a distance, he would not raise his head, he beat his breast as a sign of repentance, and he cried out for mercy. These are all signs of humility. This tax collector, he recognizes his sinfulness. He realizes that there is a great void in his life created because of his own sinfulness. And therefore, out of humility, he pleads for God's mercy. He demonstrates his great need for God and for God's mercy and forgiveness in his life. And he receives it. That's why Jesus says at the very end of the parable, "I tell you, the latter, being the tax collector, went home justified, not the former. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted." Well, the teaching is very clear. Jesus is teaching us a fundamental attitude of discipleship is that we must first recognize our own sinfulness, like this tax collector. Then we must recognize our complete dependency upon God, as well as upon God's mercy, compassion, and forgiveness. See, Paul recognized this. St. Paul, after his conversion, he recognized this so well, and he lived it out in his life. When we read the second reading from Paul's letter to Timothy, this is Paul's cry of the poor. Notice how it starts. Paul writes, "I've already been poured out like a libation, and the time of my departure is at hand." Paul knows the end of his life is near. He's sitting right now in a prison in Rome, awaiting his own execution. It may be just a matter of minutes or of just a few days away. He knows that soon he will die. He continues. He says, "At my first defense, no one appeared on my behalf. Everyone deserted me." At the very end of Paul's life, all of his friends and all of his followers have deserted him. They've left him. That's so similar to Jesus Christ. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when the soldiers come to arrest him, the apostles all scatter and flee, and Jesus is left alone. Well, the same thing now is happening to Paul. But notice what Paul says. "But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the proclamation might be completed, and all the Gentiles might hear it." Paul realizes that the source of his strength comes from God, and God alone. And God has never abandoned Paul throughout all of his years of ministry, nor will he abandon him now, at his greatest hour of need, right before his death. In fact, Paul cries out to God, and he says, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil threat and will bring me safe to his heavenly kingdom." Well, this is Paul's cry of the poor. Paul cries out for God's mercy and his love, and he knows he will receive it. He trusts he has faith and confidence in the Lord, who was always with him and was a source of his strength. Prayer is about relationship with our Lord. The way we pray reveals our relationship with our Lord and God. What must we do? Heed the words of Sirach, St. Paul, and Jesus Christ. Cry out to the Lord day and night. Pray to God always and often. As Sirach says, "The prayer of the lowly pierces the clouds. It does not rest until it reaches its goal, nor will it withdraw till the Most High responds." Our prayer will pierce the clouds. It will reach its goal, our Lord and Savior, and God will respond. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.